Let's fall in love with God.
Chapter 6. Breaking Old Habits, Forming New Ones.
The Christian Habit. The largest percentage of Christians in the first generation of believers were abandoned to intimacy with God. If this were not so, they would not have continued to profess their faith in Jesus, knowing that it would likely cost them their lives. The greatest problem the church faces now is the habitual Christian, just doing the same things over and over and hoping for a different result. Albert Einstein called this insanity. The great challenge is, how do we get such Christians interested in becoming more than the average run-of-the-mill believers we see everywhere? Most Christians have relaxed into a religious routine and are satisfied to remain in their comfort zone. Falling in love. The Apostle Paul said, "You did run well at first. Who hindered you?" Galatians 5:7. The absolute truth of the matter is that we have each stunted our own growth. We have extinguished the flames of our first love. That love drew us to God and overwhelmed us when we felt the love of Jesus and responded to His offer of intimate relationship with Him. Let us determine to find that first love, which came to us at rebirth. Purpose to pursue your first love, that honeymoon-like passion that overwhelmed you when you accepted Jesus by faith. If you have just recently been born again of the Spirit of God in Christ, purpose to remain on honeymoon with Him for the rest of your life. Abandoned to intimacy. There are two important aspects of the life abandoned to intimacy with God. These two things will go a long way in helping you break out of your lethargy. First, living abandoned to intimacy with God involves a shift in our affections from the things we love that are self-indulging, self-promoting, or self-worshipping. To put the love of your wife before the love of God is a choice of worldly motive. The concern for your own reputation is a worldly motive. Someone once said, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." Well, so is the road to heaven. It is the same road. What determines your destination is the direction in which you are traveling. Actually, the road to hell, your direction away from God, is the gold of your own reputation. Jesus made Himself of no reputation. If you care more about your reputation among men than your reputation with God, be advised that your direction is determined by such popularity gold. Jesus said, "He that loves his family more than me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10:37. Are you willing to do whatever God asks of you, even if it means that your family will be upset with you? The second aspect of the life abandoned to intimacy with God requires abandoning yourself to Him as in a marriage and letting Him be your groom. Now to you men, I say quite bluntly that you are the bride of Christ. You are not His groom. Unless and until you can learn how to be surrendered to Jesus as a bride, you will not find intimacy with Him. As long as you treat Him as though you are the groom, there will be constant conflict between your spirit and His Holy Spirit. Don't think of it in terms of gender. Think of it in terms of roles and responsibilities. Let Him take the lead, and when there is a disagreement between you and Him, always let Him make the final decision. Until you love Him with passionate desire, enough to trust Him with your very life and the life of your entire family, you will not surrender your will to His and let Him manage all the events of your life. This is the message that has come down to us since Jesus finished His work on the earth. There is no formula for intimacy, just as there is no formula for falling in love.
No exposure, no interest.
It is likely that your lack of exposure to, or lack of interest in, the passion of many believers through the centuries explains why your Christian experience is far less gripping and satisfying than theirs. Their passions were expressed clearly in hymns, books, teachings, and personal expression. We keep a significant distance between ourselves and God. This may be caused by our spiritual confusion or purposeful intention to be in control. However, the truth still remains that the distance we maintain is a choice we have made. You must repent, change your mind about who is in charge of your life, yourself or God. To make no choice at all in the matter will ensure that you will never find intimacy with God in this life. Agree to disagree amicably. Many Christian books, devotionals, and Bible commentaries are laced with misrepresentations, and the contradictions and confusions taught by religious leaders everywhere account for much of the crowd's discouragement in this pursuit of the love of God. These misrepresentations of God and His ways are caused by relative truth, which was either passed to us by their relatives or which was logically deduced. Faith is illogical and always will be. Faith is emotional. Faith and fact are not the same. Fact is certain. Faith is hoped. Be open to letting God change what you believe. Be in agreement with God, even if it is in disagreement with every other person you know. Live loved and live loving. Essentially, we must do an about-face with respect to our deepest affections. These two things are necessary for a Christian who wants to abandon himself to an intimate love affair with God. In other words, one must forsake the love of self and embrace the love of God. This love exchange will parlay into loving others as much as one loves self. It is entirely possible to be religious, go to weekly worship gatherings, and yet not to have forsaken the world, self, at all. Many who are very religious will not spend eternity with God. The proof is that you will find professed Christians wherever you will find non-Christians. On the other hand, because of the enormous grace of God, even some violent criminals who have cried out in desperation, "God be merciful to me, a violent sinner," may be far more intimate with God than most Christians. It is not about the state in which we were at the time of our new birth. It is only about a choice to love God more than any other object in the universe, day after day, being aware of His presence and letting Him be in control of your life. The irrefutable evidence of intimacy is the motive to do everything to please one's lover. Motives. There seems to be little distinction between Christians and non-Christians in general. Nearly all religions focus on morality. Some do not bend to the changes in culture, such as Islam, but many change the definition of morality to coincide with the cultural norms. Christians should be the most loving of all people and also the most merciful and forgiving, but the moral standards of the church should remain true to the scriptures. Sin is not. Unfortunately, many Christians today will do almost anything that anybody else will do. Now, I am not saying that we can rely on what the church has held as a moral standard historically. Many things formerly labeled as sin were not sin according to the Bible. The best way to determine what expression, word or deed, is sin and what is not is to assess its effect on relationship. Historically, there was often too much focus on behavior and too little on relationship. According to God's Ten Commandments, sin is anything that denigrates or destroys relationship. Sin is not expression. Sin is motive. One can sin in motive while appearing to be righteous in their expression. Forgive without apology. As Christians, we must forgive like Jesus did. This is not to forgive someone because you are guilty of the same things and therefore you have no right to judge. Forgiveness never requires an apology, as Christ spoke forgiveness from the cross. But to forgive never means to condone the evil done. This one thought might help you.
Condone or condemn.
Silence gives consent is a phrase from hell. It is absolutely not true. Further, God has not given any of us, Christians or otherwise, the authority to condone anything. Nor has He given any man the authority to condemn. Tread lightly if you think you can judge anyone.
Bear in mind that discernment and judgment may appear to be the same thing, but they absolutely are not.
Wrong never becomes right based on culture, but demonstrating love toward the unlovable, even criminals, is the way of the cross. The only cure for criminality is the saving faith in the one who offered salvation to all mankind. Unconditional love is the only thing that compels a man to surrender his life to Christ. Remember this too, forgiveness does not mean that there will be no consequences for the crimes. Forgiveness in God's hall of justice is that someone will suffer the consequences of every crime. It will either be yourself or Jesus Christ. It is your choice. An "I can do it myself" attitude here is an irretrievably poor choice. Strange, but wonderful. Christians who are abandoned to intimacy with God will be looked on as being strange and out of touch with reality. To be sure, we are out of touch with their reality. Ours has changed to that of another kingdom. We are in this world with a very specific commission and a very specific command. Neither of these are normal, but both of them are absolute. The object of the church, or at least Christ's ends, is to be the presence of the love of Jesus in His stead. He deposited the Holy Spirit within each of us to connect us to God at all times. That is a really terrific kind of strange. Changed desires. When we talk about being in the world but not of it, we are talking about desire of the heart. When we fall in love, our desires change radically. Our desires now include and envelop the one we love. God's desires become our desires when He becomes the object of our affection. When our spirit becomes joined to God's Holy Spirit, our desires follow. The natural man cannot help himself. He is selfish, myopic, somewhat narcissistic, and consumed by pride. Pride and humility. It is when one's pride is wounded that all sorts of bad things happen. It spawns crimes. It causes relationships to break. It causes people to do almost insane things. But the way of Jesus was, and still is, humility, which is quite repulsive to the natural spirit. And you will never become truly intimate with God so long as you have not surrendered your reputation, that is your pride, to God. So, yes, that is a very strange thing, likely even repulsive to the natural man. It was for us as well. Repentance is a humbling through which we surrender our sovereignty, free will, to God. But the humbling cannot stop there. The deeper the humility, the greater God's grace. The Bible says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Present, but not present. God means what He said, love not the world, specifically things that are in the natural world. These are self-indulgence, self-applause, and desiring to be worshipped or to be in control of others. 1 John 2:15-16 puts it this way, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, give me, the lust of the eyes, see me, and the pride of life, worship me, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Clearly, the natural man and the spiritual man are radically different. You need to work and live and drink and sleep and bathe and grow and procreate and bring your children up in the world God made. That is not the world to which I am referring. The world we are to forsake is the one that organizes and fills itself with unbelief. The world that is possessed with pleasure, prosperity, popularity, and power builds itself upon doubts, worry, anxiety, and fear. A father may be in the room with his children while his mind is wandering far from them. He may be thinking about appointments, emails, phone calls, and other business things. So even though he may be physically in his children's presence, his presence is a long way off. In like manner, when we fall in love with God, our minds are constantly wandering to His presence, as opposed to concentrating on our physical situations. When our thoughts and affections are with God, we are in the right state of mind.
Forsake self-righteousness.
Jesus was in the world, but not of the world. He was here, but His heart was somewhere else. There is no contradiction here in what I'm saying. There's a distinction between part of the world that is divinely given where Christians plant, reap, sow, work, and live in the world by following God's commandments. God meant it to be so, and that is not worldliness. Worldliness is the pride of life and the desire for what the eye sees and the longing of the ambitious soul for position. So get over your bad self. When you cease every effort to stop doing evil things and devote all of your attentions and affections toward God, you will find that the evil subsides. God's Holy Spirit can then express Himself prolifically because you stop interrupting His activities with your self-righteous efforts. So stop trying and start trusting. You can certainly trust the Spirit of God within you. Selfish to selfless. These two acts can be done simultaneously. Turn from the world of selfish desire, turn to desire for Christ. All the natural things like eating, drinking, buying, selling, marrying, and all the things that God created to be done that are not of the spiritual world but of the natural world will become spiritual. When intimacy with God is achieved, everything takes on spiritual meaning. Everything and every experience in your life becomes a part of your spiritual pursuit of God. All things are holy that create or nurture right relationships. So the common things, things that we call secular, will no longer be secular to us. The mundane things will be mundane no more. The most common thing can be done for the glory of God when we have turned from the world and the world's ways. Simply gaze with adoration at the face of the Son of God. Will you turn from the world and turn fully to Christ? Will you abandon yourself to intimacy with God? This song, composed by Madame Guyon while in exile in France in the 17th century, captures the feeling of intimacy with God. It is remarkably similar to how one feels on honeymoon with their earthly most significant other. It expresses the true sentiment of deeply passionate love, and it is how intimacy with God feels. My Lord, how full of sweet content.
My Lord, how full of sweet content, I passed my years of banishment. Where I dwell with Thee, in heaven, in earth, or on the sea. To me remains nor place nor time, my country is in every clime. I can be calm and free from care on any shore, since God is there. While place we seek or place we shun, the soul finds happiness in none. But with a God to guide our way, 'tis equal joy to go or stay. Could I be cast where thou art not, that were indeed a dreadful lot. But regions none remote I call, secure of finding God in all.